The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
But one of the questions that I want to try and answer in this topic about the youth especially and this guidance which I call a give and take relationship is that why do we find youth primarily, but even older people, distancing themselves from religion, if not completely leaving Islam altogether? I'm sure all of us in this room know somebody, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, a co-worker, a classmate, born into a Muslim family, born into a Shia family, a family that would come to the Majlis of Muharram. And for some reason, the young man or woman in that family no longer identifies with Islam. Right? They don't find value in the majlis. It's the same story repeated over and over again. Right? And I probably said the same thing growing up in Edmonton when I was dragged to the majlis every year, that this is the same story repeated over and over again. What's the benefit in it for me? What do I get out of religion? I pray, I don't see that I get my du'as answered. I want this, I don't get it. I pray, I don't get this. And I see all my non-Muslim friends having fun, enjoying life, partying, doing this, doing that. So why should I bother to stay within this religion that has really blocked me in and boxed me in? I can't enjoy the world that everybody else is enjoying. So why do people feel like this? And again, not just from a theory, I've seen this in my own circle of friends, people that I grew up with in Edmonton who now no longer identify as Muslims. Their name is a Muslim name. They have that connection. They might still eat cultural food, but they have lost all semblance of Islam. You know, to the point where sometimes they have told me that, you know, I fasted this Ramadan for the first time in 20 years. I've had friends tell me this, that they haven't fasted for 10, 20 years. They've just left it all. They left praying, they left fasting. Everything is out the window. Obviously, there are different reasons why people feel this way. One of them is the society that we are born and brought up in. Right? We live in a very secular society. It's over-secularized, I would say, in the last 15 to 20 years. Back in the day, people had religiosity, whether it be Christianity or whatever, but there was religion. And people had petitions in the early 80s that we want the malls to stay open, to open rather on a Sunday. I remember those days. People had some sense of religion back then. They recognized that Sunday should be spent in resting with the family, doing church or whatever you do, but there was a sense of family, of community, of religion back then. And we know that now things have changed, not only Monday to Friday and Saturday, Sunday, it's 24 hours a day. Some of these mega box stores, they stay open 24/7. So yes, society plays a huge role in why many of our youth or even elders are leaving religion. Sometimes it's our own family members. One family member drifts away and they take a sibling with them. Or the mother or father drift away and they take the children with them to the path of leaving Islam. Many times it's our friends. And that's why the Prophet had said that Al-Mar'u ala dini khalilihi. A person is on the religion of their friend, on the path and ideology of their friends. So the Prophet says, be careful who you befriend. Right? Very rarely will you come across friends, again, whether they're Muslim or not, who will keep you on the path. You know, if we have those kind of friends in our lives, thank Allah that you have them. But many times your friends will want you to be involved in what they're doing, drugs, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, whatever the case may be. Our friends will be into it, and unfortunately even so-called Muslims, and they will drag us with them into that pit of not only hell in the world to come, but hell in this world, because you will have to pay the price for your decisions in this world. Another reason why people leave Islam is because they're not given the true, correct understanding of this religion. Whether that be from people who have not studied Islam in the traditional seminaries, and not only traditional seminary studies, but have worked on purification of the soul, because believe you me, I have seen, and I'm sure many of our scholars have seen, people who have gone to Qom, gone to Najaf for 5, 10, 15 years. They have turbans on which are 12 meters, 15 meters of material, massive turbans bigger than your tires on your SUV, and they're the most deviant of people. They're misguiding people, not because they didn't study. They studied great, but they didn't maybe have that purification of the soul. They weren't there for the right reasons. It was about money. It was about power. It was about establishing themselves as the head of an institution, as an organization. And so many times we lose our religion because we're not given a clear picture of it. I remember many, many years ago, this is like more than 20 years back, a young man told me that he was on the brink of leaving religion. And we were talking about many different things, and one of the things he said is that his parents have been feeding him all of this information over the years, which didn't make sense to him. It was illogical how Islam could have certain things, some certain beliefs. And I asked him for a couple. And one of the things he says, well, I'm into sports. I'm into a lot of different activities and sports. And I'm told that I'm not allowed to do sports. I said, well, why would that be? Are you dressed inappropriately? Are you playing games with the opposite gender? What is it? He goes, no, I'm told that if I jump on the ground, if I play basketball and I'm shooting hoops and I'm, you know, jumping, because I'm landing on the ground with my feet, the ground will complain to Allah on the Day of Judgment that this guy was jumping on top of me. And he said, what kind of a religion would pass that kind of a ruling, a fatwa, that I can't even jump or play sports because now the ground will complain that I jumped on the earth? It was a simple thing in my eyes, but for him, because sports was his everything, he thought, this doesn't make sense. How can a religion which encourages, you know, us to be active in archery and horseback riding and swimming and sports and, you know, all of these things, how can it then put me in a position of being accountable to God on the Day of Judgment? And people tell me other stories that they hear from their parents. Not because their parents meant bad, but because for the most part, these parents came with very little sound knowledge of Islam. They came from communities and countries where they didn't have scholars educating them. So the point being is that many times we end up mixing religion and culture to the extent, or completely providing illogical rulings, that our youth especially begin to leave Islam. When they see that culture is saying one thing, no, you can't marry this person because they're not from our tribe back home. Because you're a Sayyida, you can't marry a non-Sayyid. Well, what about Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Reza Gulpaygani, the late? He married his daughter to a sheikh, to a non-Sayyid, Ayatollah Sheikh Lutfullah Safi Gulpaygani, marhum, who passed away recently. A marja taqlid, who's a Sayyid, he marries his daughter to a non-Sayyid. And you look at the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, right? They married women from Nubia, from Africa, from Morocco, from the Northwest Africa, from Sudan. If you believe the story of the 12th Imam marrying Narjis Khatun, there are alternative theories. She was from Rome. She wasn't a Sayyida in the lineage of Banu Hashim, but yet the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, the 12th Imam's mother, apparently she's from Rome. So she would have been of Christian descent, Caucasian. She wasn't a Sayyida in that definition. But yet we have this cultural baggage. No, if the boy isn't a Sayyid from this village in Pakistan or whatever country, then you can't marry him. And so then our youth will do whatever they want because they have needs that are not being fulfilled through the religious permissible ways, because culture has destroyed our religious identity. And then we wonder why our youth don't want to follow the religion. Well, we have convoluted culture to such an extent that it's completely blurred. Where does culture end and religion begin? There's no way to identify that for many people.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.